This is Brian T. Stevenson, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Coming up on MYR Weekly, we discuss Pixar Star Wars plans, who will be directing the Assassin's Creed movie, and we count down our top 10 most anticipated 2014 movies. All that and more coming up on MYR Weekly. Hello and welcome to MYR Weekly, the movie podcast dedicated to the movie week that was. I am one of your hosts, Dan Clark, and joining me as always is Kevin Optimus Solo. How's it going?
It is going fantastic, sir.
How's your week been?
It's been busy. A lot of work stuff going on. Other than that, I was able to see a few movies, so I can never complain if that's the case.
Nice. Yeah, I'm right there with you. For those joining us for the first time or those return visitors, we start each podcast with a discussion of what we've been watching recently. We'll move on into the movie news, then to our main attraction. And our main attraction for this week is actually looking forward to 2014 and counting down our most anticipated movies. We figure it's January. Not a lot out there in the theater right now, which I'll actually get to in a moment. So we'll be counting those down. And we finish each episode off, like we always do, with our credit conversation and look forward to what films will be coming out next week and what will be released on Blu-ray and DVD. But to start things off here, Kev, have you been able to catch anything in the past week?
Yeah. What an odd week of movies for me. All right, let's start this off. Like I told you guys last week, you know, my roommate and I have this stack of movies that we're trying to get through, either picked by him or picked by me, that we want the other one to see. And so we picked a few more, two more off of that list for this week, both his choices this time. And the first one is a movie from 2009 called Gentlemen Broncos.
Interesting.
And it's from, I believe, the creators of writers of Napoleon Dynamite, and it's starring I'm going to say the wrong one, Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords. Hopefully, I didn't pick the wrong character. It's been a while since I've seen that show. I can tell that it was from the people that were behind Napoleon Dynamite. I think my roommate said it best. He said they're really good at creating characters that absolutely don't exist in the real world. It seems like just like these bizarre characters that you can't even possibly imagine actually existing. It had potential at the beginning, and that's it. It was an awful movie. I rated it a half a star. Like I said, it seemed like it could be okay, like for the first like maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, like that opening sequence, and then it just went downhill. It's about a kid that is an aspiring writer. He goes to a camp for aspiring writers, where a bunch of different people from neighboring schools and towns and cities, I assume, are going to. And then they have different seminars or speeches or talks from different established writers, etc. Well, the character from The Flight of the Conchords plays a struggling but established writer that this kid looks up to as one of his idols because he was a sci-fi writer. And basically the story is that the writer steals the kid's story and passes it off as his own. Meanwhile, there's these sequences where the kid's story is actually being acted out, and it's this bizarre science fiction thing, and the budget wasn't very high on this film, obviously, but it was a bizarre film. I don't know if I can recommend anybody to watch that.
So are you are you a fan of Napoleon Dynamite? Are you coming this from?
I have never rewatched it. I enjoyed it the first time, but I've never had the desire to watch it again, and I'm not someone who can quote all the different lines like everybody else can, but I had nothing against it. It just wasn't phenomenal to me. It was funny, it was clever, it was unique, but like I said, I've just never had the desire to rewatch it, I guess. Yeah. What about you for Napoleon Dynamite?
I'm not a huge fan. I'm it's similar to you. I kind of caught up with it after the huge hype, and I just didn't. I guess I'm I didn't see what most people saw. And two, I worked at Macy's when that was out, and I just saw, and we sold all those shirts for Pedro and all, and it was just basically inundated with all that stuff before I even saw the movie. So I felt like I already knew everything going in. So I don't know. Maybe if I rewatched it, I might like it more. But at the time, I was not the biggest fan.
Yeah. And then the next one that we decided to watch was No Country for Old Men from the Coen brothers, because I had never seen that before. It was probably near the top of my list of movies that I haven't seen that I wanted to see. And goodness, that's Javier Bardem playing another psychotic character. It's interesting because obviously he was in The Counselor this last year, and they're very different characters, but just he is a bizarre actor, but good. So that was a good film. I don't think I'm as in love with it as everybody else was, but I still enjoyed it. Then my roommate had a bunch of friends over, and they went, and it's the same group of people that I used to have. We used to have a crappy movie night where we'd get together like once a week, or I don't remember how often it was, and we would just watch ridiculously stupid movies, usually that you got out of like the Walmart dollar bin or something like that. Well, they had picked up like this horror and the sci-fi collection, like 50 classics or 100 classics or whatever. Well, the movie we decided to watch was called Mole Men Against the Son of Hercules.
Sounds amazing.
Yes, from 1961. I added this on my Letterboxd account. And interestingly, I am one of two people on that site that has seen this movie. And I gave it a half a star. I don't know. It's just terrible, as you would expect from one of those types of films. But yeah. It's fun to watch with a group of people, I guess. But the Mole Men were interesting. It was just literally human beings that were wearing like white suits and like a white wig, and they would even take off the mask at time to show that they were human. So I don't quite get it, but it was terrible. And then two more films I watched. I watched I randomly was checking Netflix to see what was new, and I noticed that The Hunt was on Netflix, a film that you had seen over the course of the year that got, I believe, got an Oscar nomination for Best Foreign Film.
Yes, it did.
And I remember seeing that looked interesting, and I didn't expect it to be on Netflix, but there it was, so I watched it that night. And I gave that one a 4.5 star out of 5. I thought that was a really good film. And definitely worth all the praise that you gave it. And I haven't seen any other Oscar nominations for foreign films, but I'll be pulling for that one, I guess.
Yeah. It's the only one I've seen, too. And, yeah, like Mads Mikkelsen in that is just amazing.
Yeah, some of those scenes are just ridiculous with him getting, harassed and however you want to say it. But,
yeah, there's that one. The one scene that always sticks in my mind is this one scene in a supermarket that it's like the culmination of everything kind of happening, which I think is a pretty brutal scene to witness. Not necessarily it's a tough movie to watch for sure.
And a crazy headbutt.
Yes.
And then today I randomly went, and of course all the Oscar films are back in theaters and whatnot, so I was able to go see Nebraska. Obviously I will now adjust my top 10 for the year, and I'll throw that in there as well. Very similar to August Osage County in a lot of ways, to me at least. Obviously different from an artistic standpoint and from an acting standpoint, but a lot of similarities as far as just like family relationships and stuff like that. But I definitely really enjoyed that film, and I'd probably move that into my top 10 and probably take Drinking Buddies out. I don't know where I'd rank it, but somewhere in that top 10.
Nice. Yeah. I really adore that movie. It was like number 3 or 4 in my top 10. So I am there with you with the love for it.
And Will Forte was like you said, a very surprisingly good performance in that role.
Yeah, it's interesting too. I was listening to him on, I think, the WTF podcast or Nerdist. I think he was on both. Just listening to like how he got the part and how Alexander Payne didn't know anything about him. Like he didn't know he was a comedian or anything like that. But he was pretty good. And Bruce Dern is like fantastic. I know he won't win Best Actor. There's tough competition, but I would not be against him winning. So,
what were you able to watch over the course of the week?
I had a few things. Like I mentioned, this year, this time of the year, there's not a lot in theaters. It's a good time, like you mentioned, to catch up on like the Oscar stuff that you may have missed. But the one thing I did see that was new that came out was Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit. I was with my wife. We went on Martin Luther King Day. We just wanted like a dumb movie to watch, and we found one for sure. And it's like Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit isn't a horrible movie. It's just It's just mediocre, and it's aggressively mediocre. I don't know how you feel about the other Jack Ryan movies overall, like Clear and Pleasant Danger, Summer of All Fears, to me they're okay. This one I would probably say it does what exactly you expect it to do. There's no really surprises. There's no twist. Chris Pine is fine in that role. The action is kind of okay. It honestly feels like more of a TV show than a movie. So I think there's probably better stuff out there. Nothing you need to see in the theater. But it's just,
That's okay, because I was looking for a movie to possibly see Thursday with a friend, so we'll have to decide. The other ones would be The Hunt for Red October and Patriot Games.
Yeah.
I actually really enjoyed The Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, that is probably the best one by far.
And I to a lesser degree, did enjoy Patriot Games and Clear and Present Danger to a point. I didn't really get on board with Summer of All Fears, so
yeah.
I mean, it's not a franchise that I'm huge on.
Yeah, I would say it's better than Some of All Fears overall. I just think Chris Pine is better in that role than Ben Affleck, and I think the story overall is good. I mean, it's just nothing really unexpected. It's just kind of just there. Kevin Costner is pretty cool in the role. I like the role that he plays. It's kind of nice to see him in these supporting roles. But overall, it's nothing fantastic. I don't think you would hate your time while you're watching it. It's just like, that happened, and it's nothing I'd ever revisit. So
it's such a weird franchise because there's only five films, and it's spanning, you know, about a 25-year period. But there's five films, and you have four different actors. And if you take this one out of the equation, I mean, you had a 4-year period where you already had it played by two different actors, and now you've had kind of like two reboots. Yeah. I don't know. It's just weird to like put them all together and treat them as the same character for me. But do you have one that sticks out as better than the other out of Alec Baldwin, Harrison Ford, Ben Affleck, and Chris Pine?
Well, I think Alec Baldwin was probably had to do the least, because I think with Hunt for Red October, Jack Ryan's character is only really a small part of that movie. It's really Sean Connery that takes it over.
Right.
I think that's probably the best movie, but I think the person that's done the role the best is probably, I would say, Harrison Ford, much more so because those movies relied on him more than Red October.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But yeah, some other stuff I watched. I was also catching up with some 2013 movies as well, and one that I caught that I thought was absolutely fantastic. I heard a lot of people talking about it. It was on a lot of top 10 lists for people. It's not one that got a lot of love by the Academy, but a lot of people liked it because it was like a small indie hit, and that was Short Term 12, starring Brie Larson and John Gallagher Jr., who's also on the show Newsroom. And the movie's about Brie Larson and plays this like counselor at this clinic for kids who are under the age of 18 who are dealing with difficulty either regarding like depression or they're suicidal for whatever reason. And it's just a really honest film, and it's a movie that could have been really melodramatic, really could have been so just overly done, but it's just subtle. And Allison Brie Larson, I should say. Brie Larson was fantastic. Like, she, to me, sold herself as an actress in this. Like, she has a career ahead of her. Her character is very complicated. There's a lot of layers to her, and there's an authenticity to what she was doing. And it's just a really small, sweet film that is heart-wrenching in some moments, but it's really bright in some moments, but never overly bright. I mean, I did have some issues. I felt like every character in that was maybe overly complicated, for example. Like, there was not, like, a normal person, even people working at the center. Like, they all had these amazing backstories, and either because of their past life or, you know, they were adopted. Like, there's not a normal person. That it just felt like everyone was eccentric or something in some way. But besides that, it's a wonderful film. I don't think it's on Netflix. I got it from the Redbox. So if you're looking for something to check out, I would definitely advise. I don't know if it would make my top 10 for the year, but it would come very close. So
excellent.
The other thing I saw on a very different spectrum, which was kind of the horror film I heard a lot of good things about, and it's a different take on the Home Invasion, and it's Your Next. In the use of proper grammar, it's actually U-Y-O-U-apostrophe-R-E, so not Your Next, but it's your home invasion story that this family goes having some sort of holiday at this secluded house, and then people start attacking them. But there's a little bit of a twist where there's this woman who's there who is a guest, but apparently she has some sort of background because she's actually able to kind of fight back in some ways, and it gives it a new twist to the classic home invasion storyline. There's some subtle humor as well, and it, to me, is a movie that's a million times better than it should be. I wouldn't say it's going to be like a redefining horror film or one that is something the level of, say, like a Saw or even The Conjuring that came out last year, but it's really it surprised me in how good it was and how it took that common trope and turned it on its head a little bit. So if you're looking for some good horror to watch or a solid thriller, I would definitely recommend it. It's not for the squeamish at all. There's some brutal scenes for sure. So I know that's not everyone's thing. And some other things just to round it out. I saw this documentary came out in 1999 called American Movie. I've been wanting to watch this, similar to what you said with No Country for Old Men. It's been on my wanting to see for quite a while. I've heard a lot of great things for it about it, and it's on Amazon streaming, so I checked it out. And the premise is this guy in Wisconsin who is this amateur filmmaker, and he's just trying to make a movie. He's trying to make his dream movie. And what really sells it are these characters. They feel like they should be fake, but they're real. And it's so unintentionally hilarious, but honest. And it's interesting because you kind of feel for the guy because he is very passionate about what he does and what he wants to do in film. He loves film, and you feel for him. You want to see him succeed, but he just doesn't. He just keeps getting in his way, and he keeps trying to he has money troubles. He has issues left and right. He has issues like with his wife and his former wife and his kids. And there's all this stuff going on. But he's just this huge, larger than life character, and with his crazy friend. And it's just really funny. It almost felt like at times him and his friend felt like a Midwestern version of Beavis and Butthead. I guess it's a good way to describe them. But it's really good. I know. And anyone who's ever been passionate about something, I kind of related to it. It's like, I'm really passionate about doing something, but I'm not really good at it. So as an amateur podcaster and movie reviewer, I can understand where that's coming from. And I'll just finish up with these two real quick. I saw RoboCop and RoboCop 2 with the upcoming RoboCop movie coming out. RoboCop 2 is a masterpiece, honestly. Not even joking in that end. Just its use of satire and how that movie is so much layered than people realized at the time. But on the other end of that is RoboCop 2, which I saw the first time in quite a while. And you forget that's directed by the same guy who directed Empire Strikes Back and by Frank Miller, the writer of Sin City and 300. And that movie is just so awful. It just doesn't work on so many levels. You realize why sequels got such a bad rap for such a long time, because it's like a movie made by people who didn't understand the original or tried but failed on nearly every level. So, yeah, I heard RoboCop 3 is even worse, and I think – I don't know if you've ever even seen that, honestly. So I'm going to try to catch that out before the new RoboCop comes out. But have you seen any of the RoboCop films?
I believe I've seen them all once upon a time, but I do have the box set, and my roommate and I are going to watch them all before you know it comes around to. I don't know if I'll be seeing the new one in the theater or not, but before we watch the new one, however we decide to do that, I do remember genuinely liking the first one. Kind of fits into a group of a whole bunch of movies that you don't think should be good from the 80s that are actually pretty decent, science fiction, etc. I don't remember much about the second or third one, other than I don't remember necessarily liking them too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I the second one is just, it has some interesting ideas, but it's just, it doesn't work. It just, it tries, but it's just made by that. I think they just don't have the same Paul Verhoeven touch who did the first one. Like, he has that satirical edge that just wasn't there. So I think I've seen a lot worse. I mean, I've seen a lot worse sequels. Definitely. There's some okay moments, but overall it's just like, ugh, this is such a waste. But Anyway, so anything else before we take a break and head on over to movie news?
Nope, I think we're ready for that.
All right, so we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about this week's headlines, and there's a lot of interesting stories that we have in store for you, so we'll see you in a bit.
Hello, pop culture connoisseurs. Do you gain a dark sense of peace when the guilty are punished by a violent vigilante? If so, maybe you should get some therapy, and then subscribe to Punisher Body Count, the net's best podcast concerning all things Frank Castle. I'm Dane Lamont. My co-host Jake Williams and I cover the good, the bad, and the hilarious on the Punisher comics, movies, and news. Do you like chummy co-host banter? We got that.
You need to get your fucking...
No, you need to fucking pay attention to the fucking movie.
You want kick-ass guest interviews? How about Mike Barron and Tom Jane?
No, I like a little bit of, like a little bit of grit in my cigar.
You want carefully considered in-depth analysis?
I mean, yeah, just won Best Picture at the Oscars yesterday. I mean, it's no Terminator.
It was Good luck with that. Punisher Body Count, twice a month on GeekCast Radio.
All right, and welcome back. And we'll begin the news like we always do, with a look at the box office for this past weekend. And I think we got it right last weekend when we said we're pretty sure that Ride Along would stay number one. And we were right on the money. It did, with a weekend gross of $21 million, dropping about 49%, which is not too bad for one weekend to the next. Lone Survivor also stayed at number two, and with $12 million and Nut Job not far behind. Frozen, still there, not going away. Actually went up to number four and leapfrogged over Jack Ryan, which dropped to number five with $8 million. And the only really big newcomer film that came out this past weekend, which we both thankfully avoided, which was I, Frankenstein, kind of was fittingly dead on arrival. I'm sure that's going to be the big headline with only $8 million. With the budget about $65 million. So the likelihood of that making its money back is slim to none. So
we got to get our – we're quickly putting together a list, I guess, of box office bombs already for 2014, and it's only January.
Yeah. We got two. We got Frankenstein. We got the Hercules movie. I think that's even out of anywhere to be found. So.
Oh, it's down at number 19 there with a 65% drop from last week.
Nice, nice. So no big surprises there, right? Anything in the box office that sticks out to you?
No, I mean, it's still kind of a boring week because the top five really didn't do anything except for four and five flipping spots. No huge moneymakers here, obviously. Interesting that there still was a drop with the top three, even though they increased minorly how many theaters they were in. But it's the same thing that we talked about last week. With the Oscar buzz film still being put back out in a whole bunch of theaters, you still see all of those bringing in some money, some legit money. American Hustle, $7 million. August Osage County, $5 million. Dallas Buyers Club shot up from 22nd last week all the way up to 14th with just over $2 million. You know, Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, Nebraska, all benefiting from the Oscar nods. Her surprisingly didn't get too much of a bump here. I would say that it's interesting to me, another one of the big drops, besides obviously The Legend of Hercules, which went down about 65%, and Devil's Due, which it's kind of commonplace that the horror films drop pretty quick. The other one that was was it the Paranormal?
Yeah, the Paranormal Activity, the Mark ones.
Yeah, it dropped almost 80%. But interesting, too, that apparently it's not – maybe some films should avoid coming out right before the Oscar nods, because it gets to that serious point where people are all wanting to see these good films, because Anchorman had a plummet big time, too. And, I mean, I know they already made up their money, but a quick exit once Oscar nominations were released for that and a bunch of these other films. And the ones that are coming out, just nothing to catch your eye, really.
No, it's pretty much 2013 still dominating, really, at this point. Nothing new has really cracked the top 10. I mean, some of the biggest hits so far have been like The Nut Job, which it's made $40 million, which isn't huge, but it's only had a budget of $42 million, and it's already has a sequel announced as well. So
I mean, obviously Lone Survivor and Ride Along are doing fine. They've, you know, so far surpassed double, triple their budget. You know, so those two films did surprisingly good, but those, you know, obviously those, and like you said, Nut Job and anime has the animated film charm to it. But outside of that, I mean, goodness gracious, if you look at the Shadow Recruit and the, you know, the Hercules film and some of these other films that have come out, it's just,
yeah. Yeah. All right. Anything else before we head over to headlines?
No, I think it's just a kind of a going to be the same case for the rest of January and maybe on into the beginning of February. Where we don't have much to talk about the box office.
No, I guess the big thing is going to be how many bombs can we have. We had some so far, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So why don't you take us down this past weekend's headlines?
All right. I got a number of different headlines kind of across variety of films, but again, a fair share of Star Wars and comic book stuff. You know, it's been interesting. We asked the question a while back about which comic book character would people like to see, or what type of superhero would they like to see a movie made. An interesting headline here coming out this week, that there's a possibility that we could get an Iron Fist movie. What did you think about that article?
That's interesting because I know they talked about some of those Netflix, you know, those movies that are coming directly to Netflix. So I don't know if that's related to this or if that would be like a spinoff or so. I mean, Iron Fist is a cool character because he could be really – it could be like a new ground for Marvel because they haven't really done anything martial arts related. Mm-hmm. And that could kind of break a new ground for them if they're trying to, you know, initiate their Phase 3, which they haven't really announced much at this point. Some people have been – speculating Doctor Strange, Black Panther, but I would be really for Iron Man, or not Iron Man, Iron Fist. Some people might, maybe they'll go Iron Fist thinking, hey, they can, maybe people get confused and just see Iron and go in. But they had a really great reboot series for Iron Fist in 2006, 2007 that kind of redefined the character, gave him more like an interesting background. So if they stuck to that, I think it could make for a pretty awesome movie. It would be something very different from Marvel, but I'd be for it.
And according to him, the thing here, and they're talking to, this is from an article talking to Gareth Evans from, who just did The Raid and The Raid 2. Well, The Raid 2, The Raid was obviously before that. And they were asking, you know, if he would be interested in doing a comic book movie like that. He said, totally, yeah, this is quote, I'm not averse to it. My big thing right now is figuring out how to do that action style. And would someone like Marvel let me do an R-rated movie?
Probably not.
He's saying in PG-13 action, you hide the chaos and fill it with sound. That's something I can't do. So if I made a comic movie, it'd have to be an R rating. So I don't know if he would be the one to do that then, if it would be going ahead. Of course, we were getting more Batman, our Batman Superman news for the week. It's all about...
Should get a sound effect or something.
Yeah, I know. We need a sound clip that we can just play. It's all about bat suits and the possibility that we're going to see multiple bat suits, at least two, in the film. Does this matter at all to you?
I guess the way it kind of matters is that it feels like it's following the storyline for The Dark Knight Returns because Batman gets like a, you know, a Hulk or Superman basher suit that's like an Iron Man suit on top of Batman. So I think that's what people are speculating. But overall, yeah, I mean, it gets to the point where like wardrobe is becoming a big deal. Like anything about this movie is becoming a story.
Yeah. So, you know, for those that are super obsessed with this film, that's probably a big news thing for them. And there's probably going to be all kinds of internet hate or love about one suit or the other. Or if, you know, how can you have two, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's always the classic argument about the what was the bat suit nipples or something.
Yeah, the bat nipples.
Anyway, so feel free to voice your opinion on if there should or should not be two bat suits in the new Batman Superman film. Interesting article here for video game fans here about the possibility of Assassin's Creed becoming a movie here. Says the most, according to the article, the most eagerly awaited video game adaptation in years may have found its director, Safe House's Daniel Espinosa, could be about to sign on to direct the movie version of Assassin's Creed. Your thoughts?
Well, I like Safe House. Safe House felt like a movie that I thought was directed by Tony Scott. Had a very similar style to his. Assassin's Creed is kind of out of my wheelhouse. I know they talked about Michael Fassbender starring in it, but I don't know. Like, I enjoyed Safehouse, so I would be okay with it. It seems to be the trend. Like, someone does a really good job with a smaller film, and then they throw them into a franchise. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I think Assassin's Creed is the right type of game to make into a movie. You know, I don't have a lot of experience playing it, but from what I've seen, it seems like it would kind of go make the transition into a film better than some video games. So I'm kind of interested to see, you know, where that goes and in what direction they take that. Going back to straight out of the comic book stuff with some Marvel stuff, Stan Lee, an article on him that he won't cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy. Obviously, it's kind of a, you know, standard thing that he makes a cameo in all of his films. But he, when asked about making a cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy, he says, "No, I'm afraid not. That's the one group I didn't create. I didn't write Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm not even sure who they all are. I can't wait to see the movie, though." So, sadly, no Stan Lee appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy. Any thoughts on that one?
No. I heard someone make a joke that maybe they'll just make an alien that kind of looks like Stan Lee because it takes place in space. That's fine. I mean, the Stan Lee cameos are fine. I think they've kind of become their own monster in some instances.
I liked it better when not everybody knew about it.
Yeah. It's become a thing now. Just like, but I don't know. I kind of applaud him for saying, "Hey, I don't really know this stuff, so why? I'm not going to take part of it." So.
Yeah, that would make sense. And interesting here, because we always want to get not only some Batman, Superman news, but some also some Star Wars stuff. This we kind of somewhat probably could have put to, you know, two and two together and figured this out, but the possibility of Pixar to make a Star Wars movie. Obviously, since we know Disney has acquired the Star Wars franchise and the Disney Pixar connection, that could be interesting. Now, that could be a ways out, but I guess the story would be, or the rumor mill would be, you know, how it would be connected to the actual live action films if it needs to be, you know, so there's that. But if there was going to be an animation studio to do a Star Wars film, you could do much worse than Pixar.
Yeah, that's for sure. Though some could say Disney's animation studio has been better in the last few years than Pixar, but maybe sure, that could be the shot in the arm that they need. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you think about, you have these two companies, why not put them together? When we talk about 2014 movies, I'll be talking about how that's kind of happening already with Disney and different studios. But it seems like a logical, you know, companion putting them together. And I think it'd be an awesome movie. What would they do? I have no idea. But I think it'd be better off if they did something that's not like trying to just redo the original or just existing in that core, doing something like, if they're going to do the Boba Fett movie, maybe it would be awesome to do it with Pixar, or maybe do something like the Knights of the Old Republic or something in the expanded universe, because Star Wars is such a huge world. There's pretty much anything you can do.
Yeah. A lot of possibility there, a lot of options. So it's just going to be interesting to see how everything Star Wars related unfolds with the main live action films, with the quote unquote spinoff, you know, character looks live action films, what they do animated wise from both a possible film standpoint as well as a television series with Rebels. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle each arm of this franchise and how they either do or don't go together. Going back to video game stuff, is this a video game or is it strictly just anime? This is just anime. I'm just going to talk about my anime ignorance. The possibility that Snow White and the Huntsman director Rupert Sanders would be set for a Ghost in the Shell movie. That's just a real famous anime, right?
It could have been a video game. I mean,
I'm off with that.
Yeah, I really don't
Send
know.
The anime hate mail to me. But I know Guillermo del Toro was originally linked to this. Now it's Snow White and the Huntsman director Rupert Sanders. Do you know anything about Ghost in the Shell, or do you think that this would be interesting to see a movie version of it?
I really don't know much about that Ghost in the Shell at all. I've heard amazing things about it, and if Del Toro can do for that anime what he did for Pacific Rim, I'd be all for it. So he's obviously has like a love for, you know, Japanese animation compared based upon Pacific Rim and what he's said. So he's probably the one person that could do that justice. You know, it'd be a million times better than a Dragon Ball Z movie they made a few years ago.
And of course, the idea here is that it would be a live action film. So that would be interesting. I'm sure that the anime fans that listen to us might have a little bit more input as far as what they think that could or could not be good or bad. Report that Joseph Gordon-Levitt will star in a Robert Zemeckis version of Man on Wire. Did you have a chance to read that article?
Yeah, it's based upon the documentary, I believe, which is quite the amazing documentary. I don't know. There's been a lot of movies that started at docs but became live action films. They've had some have been good, some have been bad. Man on Wire, I think, is one that could really work. For those who don't know, the documentary is based upon this guy who tries to walk on a tightrope across the connecting a wire between the two Twin Towers. Obviously, this has happened before September 11th, and it's about his story. So the documentary is amazing. I think it's still streaming on Netflix if you want to see it. And it does seem like one that would lend itself greatly to live action because the way that it's filmed, there's a lot of reenactments, and they wouldn't have to change that much. So I'd be for it for sure.
All right. Well, we'll have to see if that does indeed make it or not. That's it for the headlines. We talk about delays. This one would not be a delay, so to speak, but it supports our domino effect there. Because Batman versus Superman got bumped, we now have a minor change as far as the calendar goes, with Ant-Man taking the old release date that Batman and Superman used to have. So it's moving from July 31st, 2015 to July 17th, 2015. So only kind of bumping up ahead a couple weeks, but just another example of the domino effect in the chess game that can be release dates.
Yeah. I think maybe Marvel did that because DC planned to release Batman versus Superman on the same day they were going to release something else, one of their films. So it's like, you know what? We'll take your date then. So
how about that? As far as sequels and remakes, not as much as we usually have this time. And actually, this is almost a reverse here, because usually we're talking about the potential for remakes, reboots, etc. And this one is more so about a reboot remake that is apparently going through some troubles. And that would be Terminator Genesis, where it loses a financial backer. Annapurna Pictures has dropped out of funding the film. It's the one that got the ball rolling on this next chapter in the franchise, and now it is apparently no longer willing to fund the film. We'll have to see what kind of impact that has. Obviously, we've already had a lot of people cast at it, and it's set to be released on June 26, 2015, so I'm sure someone else will come in and pick up the slack, but I don't know. Could be trouble, I guess, for the Terminator film.
Yeah, it seems like every film that was supposed to come out in 2015 is having some issue. I think that year, which was supposed to be like the year of franchise films, is going to have like nothing at the end of the day. So
never count your chickens before they hatch, I guess, is the key here. As far as casting call, we have actually a lot of casting news this week, more so than usual. First of all, if you didn't know, obviously there is a Clerks 3 in the works, and Rosario Dawson has confirmed that she'll be back for Clerks 3 from Kevin Smith. Thoughts of Clerks 3 in general, or the fact that Rosario Dawson will be involved?
Sure. I wasn't the biggest fan of Clerks 2, so it's just, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure, I guess. I really have nothing to say about that.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. Nothing that's going to pique my fancy too much on that. We do, however, get a pair of casting news revolving around the Peter Pan stuff. First of all, Garrett Hedlund from Tron Legacy is apparently on to play Captain Hook in the new film version of Peter Pan. It's getting kind of convoluted with all this Peter Pan stuff. I can't even keep track of how many different Peter Pan films we're going to get. But also Hugh Jackman and Javier Bardem are tipped to play Blackbeard and apparently there's an open casting to try to find the actual Peter Pan. And according to this article, Peter and Captain Hook will be portrayed as friends going up against Blackbeard together.
Interesting.
Yeah, and along that same line, that article must have been a little bit behind this one, because the other one is said that Hugh Jackman is set to sail the high seas, as it says, as Blackbeard, and that Javier Bardem will not be in that. Or that he... See, this is just so confusing with all the Peter Pan stuff. I can't keep it straight.
Yeah, yeah. So it seems like Hugh Jackman will be in it and whatnot, but I don't know. Like, Peter Pan's not something that I have a huge of love for. I mean, I liked the cartoon as a kid. I remember they had like a Saturday morning cartoon too that I watched, but I don't know. Hugh Jackman and does have me interested, but I guess it's a wait and see.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to see how that all goes together and what kind of... It's just interesting to think Peter Pan and Captain Hook being friends going against Blackbeard. I don't know how many people are going to buy into that. It's you know, changing something that is kind of just accepted as this is how it is, and it's been like that for a long, long time, sometimes doesn't go over well with audiences. Going back to more superhero stuff, Wonder Woman, the Gal Gadot, I don't know if that's how you say her name or not, has signed on for 3 movies as Wonder Woman. So not a surprise. We kind of knew that there would be this much stuff going on with that. And obviously the rumors there is that we would have Batman vs. Superman be the first one, a Wonder Woman solo movie, and then a Justice League film being the third one.
Makes sense.
So that is confirmed that she has signed on for that. Other confirmations, going back to the world of Star Wars, Carrie Fisher confirmed in an interview that Star Wars, that she will be returning, as well as Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill, the original trio, are back for episode 7. Not a surprise, right?
No, not at all. I guess the only question is how big of a part will it be?
And she says she would like to wear her old cinnamon bun hairstyle again, but with white hair this time.
Just not the metal bikini.
Yeah, please don't. And then as far as Amazing Spider-Man 3, not necessarily that she's going to be cast, but that maybe she won't be available to be cast. Shailene Woodley, who was obviously the role of Mary Jane, had an article that she might have too many commitments to be involved with Amazing Spider-Man 3. Is that a hit to the franchise and to the film if she's not involved in that, or if she has too much other stuff going on? Is it good for her, bad for her?
I think it's fine for her. I mean, she's going to be in that Divergence movie, and I'm sure that might be a big hit. So I think – I don't know. I don't see her in that role, so I think it's kind of better for both of them, honestly, that if she's not in it and they get someone else – I only usually think Emma Stone makes more sense as Mary Jane, which always boggles my mind why they didn't put her in that movie as that character. But yeah, I think it's better for both if she doesn't go into it, because I think she has a career beyond that with the work she's done. And you know, she was just recently in Spectacular Now, and I think if anything, to get tied down with a franchise could kind of hinder her if she's going to be in that, in like Divergence, and which could be like the next Hunger Games or whatever. So
true. So that could be interesting to see how that plays out. And then the last one here, Margot Robbie from Wolf of Wall Street in talks to play Tarzan's Jane. The film is also set to star Christoph Waltz and Samuel L. Jackson. Can you picture any of these people in a Tarzan film?
Well, I can picture Margot Robbie in a Tarzan film, but Samuel L. Jackson is just like in everything. I feel like a movie's coming out, he's going to be in it.
Well, and I forgot, the main character obviously would be Alexander Skarsgård. So it would be her playing the love interest of Alexander Skarsgård, with Christoph Waltz and Samuel L. Jackson playing unknown roles at this point.
I would assume Christoph Waltz would be the villain, but you know, who knows? I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it depends on what they're playing. Like I said, Samuel L. Jackson just appears in pretty much anything. He just shows up, so he stops reading scripts. He just, because he doesn't even know what movie's in. He's just like, all right, what am I? All right, good, go. So.
All right. So that's it for the casting, except for one other news article that I wanted to bring up, which was the possibility of a rumor of who might play the villain in the next Alice in Wonderland film starring Johnny Depp, and that rumor was that it might be Sasha Cohen.
Interesting.
He seems like he would fit into that world.
Yeah, yeah. He would, I think, do it fine.
So your thoughts on any of those casting rumors, feel free to leave them. Talking about trailer talk, we had a few things. Most Wanted Man, Tracks, Better Living Through Chemistry, The Weight, The Bag Man, Blood Ties, and another trailer for Welcome to the Jungle. Any of those that you were able to watch that looked any way interesting?
The one that kind of stuck out to me was Better Living Through Chemistry. It's with Sam Rockwell, who is pretty much awesome in anything he does. And we were both fans of Drinking Buddies, and Olivia Wilde kind of showed that she could be an actress. So seeing them in a movie could be cool. And the fact it's actually being released on demand at the same time it's being released in theater, so you can see that pretty right away. I thought that had potential. Most Wanted Man is one I'm looking forward to. It has Philip Seymour Hoffman. The trailer doesn't really give you much. It's literally just a small clip. It's more of a scene than a trailer. But Philip Seymour Hoffman giving a performance in that is already pretty cool. He has a pretty strong Russian accent. So
I'm definitely interested, just to mention the few that you mentioned already, I definitely am interested in kind of following Olivia Wilde from this point and seeing what she does next, to see if she can follow up Drinking Buddies and with a few more, you know, substantial roles. And yeah, I just need to see more about Most Wanted Man, but any of the time he appears, it's definitely interesting. Keep going, though.
Yeah, there's one for Avengers Confidential, which is like a new animated film for Marvel, starring Black Widow. And I just – it boggles my mind why they're so far – like, that doesn't look very good at all. It just boggles my mind why they're so far behind when it comes to that stuff compared to DC. It just it shouldn't be that way. But nothing really else stuck out to me. Blood Ties, which was a film, you know, starring Clive Owen. It looked like the standard cop drama type of stuff, but so
with a movie like Blood Ties, or even with the trailer from The Bag Man, when I see those types of things, it's always one of two things. It's either going to fall into just another crime cop action drama, which just kind of gets lost in the shuffle, but there's always the potential for one of those films to elevate itself, you know, to the level of like what we had with the original Heat, or, you know, certain cop dramas or action films like that do separate themselves, but it's really hard to predict which ones those are going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other one I should mention is The Weight, which looks interesting. It almost looks Terrence Malick X, with the way it's shot and everything. It doesn't, again, it's one you don't really know what it's really about, but it looks like it would be at least an interesting visual experience. So,
and definitely a trailer that fulfills the desire of not giving away too much.
Yes.
I thought the trailer for Tracks was interesting. I don't know. It looks like it could be a film that is done pretty well. Definitely a lot of scenery that can be, a lot of beautiful shots that could be present in that film. I'd like to see a little bit more from it, but that one kind of intrigued me a little bit as well.
Yeah, that looks like it could be pretty good.
The one that did not intrigue me too much at all would be Welcome to the Jungle. It's just another 80s action star trying to make a couple dollars.
Yeah, I think we should probably just give Jean-Claude Van Damme his Razzie nomination, because I'm pretty sure he'll be nominated. So
that does it for the trailer talk. Well, they'll all be posted in the episode post, so you can go click on them, watch them, give us your thoughts on any of those films, and if any of them are films that you'd be looking forward to, because that's the theme of today, is what films are we looking forward to.
Definitely, which we'll be talking about right when you come back from this break. We'll be counting down our most anticipated 2014 film, so we will see in a bit.
Apartment ready to start the day.
Jumping jacks, hit them. One, two, three. I am so pumped up. Yes, overpriced coffee.
That's $37.
Awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Oh my gosh, I love
Everything
this song.
Is cool with the of the team. Everything is awesome.
Ah, no, guys, wait up.
Where am I?
Come with me if you want to not die.
What is happening?
You're the special. And the prophecy states that you're the most important person in the universe. That's you, right?
Yes. That's me.
Relax, everybody. I'm here.
Batman? Awesome!
Who are you here to see?
I'm here to see your butt.
Oh, my gosh.
Pow. Wham. First try.
My fellow master builders.
Hello!
Lord Business plans to end the world as we know it. There is yet one hope. The special has arisen.
I know what you're thinking. He is the least qualified person to lead us. And you are right.
A house divided against itself would be better than this.
Abraham Lincoln!
I'm not the special.
I'm just a regular, normal guy.
You have the ability to be the special because I believe in you.
Robots, destroy him!
Aloha, loser!
We'll wing it. That's a bad pun.
Take him to the melding chamber.
Isn't there supposed to also be a good cop?
Hi, buddy. Would you like a glass of water?
Yeah, actually.
Too bad.
We are entering your mind.
What?
I don't think he's ever had an original thought.
That's not true.
Introducing the double-decker couch. So everyone could watch TV together and be buddies.
That is literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Let me handle this. That idea is just the worst.
To the Batmobile.
Dang it.
To the invisible jet. Dang it.
All right, and welcome back. We'll be counting down our top 10 for 2014 films we're most looking forward to. And the way we're going to do this is we actually, Kevin and I, combined and did our own list. But interesting enough, 2014 has a lot of to offer, actually, surprisingly a lot. A lot of people talking about 2015, but 2014 is no slouch. So much so that when we combined our lists, we only had 10 films that were in common. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to give our top 10 that we didn't have in common. So these are ones that I had on my list and Kevin had on his, but we didn't have them in common. And then after we get over that, we're actually going to count down our top 10 combined lists. So if you don't hear any films at the beginning, don't worry, you may hear them coming up. And also to go along with this, there's Kevin and I also did some blog posts of our top 30 or 35 most anticipated films. So there's even more than what we're going over here. It'll include more information, what we're looking forward to, the release dates, some trailers, and all that good stuff. So if you want to check those out, they'll be posted very shortly after this episode post at geekcastradio.com.
Yeah, we've done a lot of looks at 2013. We've counted down our best, you know, our top 10 list there. We've talked about the Oscar nominations. Obviously, we'll still talk a little bit about the Oscar wins. But now we're trying to, you know, shift the focus to 2014 and what's out there. And hopefully throughout this episode, we can give you some films that maybe you'll want to put on your radar as stuff to keep in the back of your mind or stuff to look for as far as when they get released.
Yeah, definitely. So I guess I'll kick things off here with my number 10. And before the episode started, I was talking to Kevin about how I was a little bit surprised this wasn't on his list. But it is on mine. It's one that's coming out very shortly. It's going to be released on February 7th. And it is the Lego Movie. You just heard a trailer of it before this break. And that to me, it just looks like a childhood imagination exploded. You have all these different characters from Batman to Abraham Lincoln. It's pretty much anything you could ever imagine. So, and I just like the way they're doing the animation. Looks like they're actually using real Legos. So super excited for that, seeing how they actually pull that movie off. So
it does look like it could be a lot of fun for kids. I don't know when exactly the people behind Legos decided that toys, the building blocks, were no longer good enough and that they needed to expand out, but they've done some decent work in the video game arena, and now they're expanding into movies. So more power to them, and it looks like it could be a lot of fun for kids.
Yeah. So what's your number 10, Kev?
I kind of debated back and forth with this movie could end up not being very good, but there's a few things that intrigue me about it. Well, first of all, I'm somewhat of a sucker for period pieces, and this is set in the 1860s. It also represents a trend that I think we are going to see in 2014, which is a lot of films and I'm hoping that more so will be a trend of good films based on books, but we're going to see a whole lot of films in 2014 based on novels, books, etc. And this is one of them. The other thing that intrigues me about it is that it stars Oscar Isaac, who we just saw in Inside Llewyn Davis, and also stars someone we've had a conversation about, which would be the sister to Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, Elizabeth Olsen. And it's coming out pretty soon, actually coming out in February, and that would be In Secret. Like I said, it might not be that great of a film, but there's just a few things that intrigue me about it that I'm going to at least give it a chance. You know, I don't have it ranked number one or anything, but I will put it at my number 10 out of the ones we didn't have in common.
That's one I actually missed. I didn't honestly don't know much about that, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's set in the lower depths of 1860s Paris. It's about obsessive love, adultery, revenge. It's based on a scandalous novel about, I believe, I don't know if that's a person that actually lived or not, but Therese Rackin, and I'm probably saying that wrong because it's not English. so we'll see.
My number nine is... at this point, does not have a release date, but it should be coming up, it seems like, most likely in December. It's from a director that I've liked a lot of what he's done. He's done Up in the Air, he's done Thank You for Smoking, and he has done, most recently, Labor Day, which I have not seen yet, and Young Adult, which was good, but not his best stuff. And that's Jason Reitman, and the movie that he's going to be doing is Men, Women, and Children. So that's really the number one reason I'm interested in it is because of the films he's done in the past. Mm-hmm. The cast is nothing. The most intriguing aspect of it is probably that Adam Sandler should be starring in it as well. And he's done some – I like to see Adam Sandler get back to doing some things that aren't grown-ups too. And like he's done stuff like Rain Over Me, and he's done, you know, Punch Drunk Love, and hopefully he's actually in 2014 scheduled to do a lot of these smaller indie films, so something to look forward to. So my number nine is Men, Women, and Children, and like I mentioned, no release date yet, but most likely late 2014. So Kev, what's your number nine?
My number nine is a film that we've talked about a couple different times during trailer talk. It just looks too intriguing for me not to be looking forward to it just for the sheer craziness of it. It's coming out April 4th of this year, starring Jude Law, and that would be Dom Hemingway. There's not much that I need to say. I mean, you can view the trailer, and that will give you the best, because there's no way I could accurately describe how insane Jude Law looks in this film. so hopefully this is not a letdown. Maybe it's built up a little bit too much, but Dom Hemingway definitely looks like a unique film for 2014.
That's for sure. Speaking of unique, it was kind of goes with my my number eight, and it's directed by Angelina Jolie, it's her second film she's directed. Their first one was not all that fantastic. It's like In the Land of Blood and Honey. But this does seem like it's intriguing because it's based upon a real-life story of an Olympic swimmer who was taken prisoner. And it looks like it can be potentially really great. It's still in filming right now. Again, nothing solid on release date, most likely late 2014, because it's probably going to be set up for Oscar nominations. So that's typically how it goes. But yeah, so that's called Unbroken and directed by Angelina Jolie. So I'm looking forward to that.
Actually, I'm looking forward to that one, too. I almost put it on my list. I just kind of missed out as I was narrowing them down. But it'll be interesting to see how she does with that one. For my number eight as well, I'm just going to try to support my own talk about movies based on books. How about a book that has sold over 10 million copies worldwide? It's coming out August 15th of this year, and that would be The Giver. And it is directed by Philip Noyce, and it is starring Jeff Bridges, who shockingly looks a lot like The Giver, the guy on the cover, and also starring Meryl Streep, so that automatically makes it intriguing. As well as an interesting pair here, we got Katie Holmes and Taylor Swift listed in the cast as well. I'm just interested to see how Jeff Bridges does with this role and just how it all comes together. And, I mean, it's The Giver. How can that not be intriguing?
Exactly. Yeah, that was...
Didn't mean to interrupt you, but it also has a weird tie into what we were talking about earlier, because director is the same director that did Clear and Present Danger, Patriot Games. He also did The Saint, The Bone Collector, and Salt. So I don't see this in the same vein as any of those films, but we'll see how that all comes together.
Yeah, you never know. Sometimes it could work. I mean, that was a big book when I was a kid. I think we had to read it. It was one of the first novels you had to read in school, I believe. But looking forward to that one as well. I almost had that on my list, too. That's one that just didn't make the cut. My number seven brings us back to what we were talking about earlier when you said maybe Pixar making a Star Wars movie. Well, a lot of people said the thing, why can't Pixar make a Marvel movie? Well, this isn't Pixar, but this is Disney Animation, which has been on a roll lately, and it's making a movie based upon a team that I honestly never heard of, but it could be pretty cool. And it's called Big Hero 6, which is based upon this team that's made up of mostly Japanese characters. Like I said, it's not one that many comic book fans know, but I think it's kind of cool that they're expanding it at this point. No voice cast has been announced yet. Really not much of anything, but just the idea of doing this and the fact that Disney Animation has been doing pretty well with Wreck-It Ralph, Frozen, Tangled. So I think this could be a pretty strong pedigree for a good movie. So looks like 2014 might be a good year in animation.
We'll get
to that more.
But there's a lot of interesting animated films coming out.
Definitely. So what is your number seven?
My number seven, I'm putting this on the list strictly for the writer. It's coming out in June 6th of 2014. And the title is The Fault in Our Stars, starring Shailene Woodley, who we talked about. Also has Willem Dafoe and Laura Dern in it. But it's the same writer that did Spectacular Now and 500 Days of Summer. For that alone, I will put it on my list.
Nice, yeah.
So it's another type of love story between teenagers, disdain for the convention, they somewhat witty, go on some type of unforgettable journey. But if you got the same guy that wrote Spectacular Now and 500 Days of Summer doing a similar topic, and you throw in Shailene Woodley, I'm in.
Nice. Yeah, that too sounds like it could be very, very good. So looking forward to that. My number six goes back to what we've been talking earlier when we mentioned the director for the Assassin's Creed. And he's coming out with another movie this year, The Raid 2. And I love the first Raid. It was short on plot, but heavy on action. Big martial arts fan. So the trailer looks like it's just going to be just as good as the original. Again, it's just craziness and taking action to another level and doing new and interesting things. So it's pretty straightforward. You know, it's apparently going to take place a few minutes after the first Raid. So I'm thinking that could lend to a lot of interesting things because the first Raid was very confined to one location, which made sense and it worked then. But I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully that'll be coming out very shortly. Again, no solid release date, but it did debut at Sundance, so it should be coming out in the next few months or so. So, Kev, what's your number six?
Call me a sucker, I guess, but anytime these two come together, I'm going to be intrigued, and that would be Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. Dumb and Dumber 2 coming out November 14th, 2014. Let's just hope this time the sequel gets it right, and I got to give him a shot. I will say that Jeff Daniels looks weird. The shots that have been released so far make Jim Carrey look a little weird, whereas Jeff Daniels almost seems like the same character. But, I mean, it's Dumb and Dumber with the actual director and with the actual stars, so it's got to be good, right?
You would assume.
I hope.
Hopefully it'll be like the movie that the Farrelly brothers get to get them back to the groove, because they've not been having the best of luck lately, so.
All right. What about you? Where are we going now that we're getting into the top five territory?
My number five, actually, I want to say the title for this, but it's been changing a few times. My number five, I'm going to give two titles here, but it's Animal Rescue, but I've also seen that it may be called The Drop, and so we'll see. But what it is, it's starring Tom Hardy, who's having a huge career right now. But the reason why it really attracts me is because it's based upon a short story by Dennis Lehane, and you may not know who that is, but you probably have seen his work. He wrote the book that Shutter Island was based off of. He wrote the book that Gone Baby Gone was based off of, and he wrote the book that Mystic River was based off of. So this also story is based off one of his short stories. And Kevin, you mentioned this will be a year of a lot of movies based upon books, and this falls along a line with that. And it's a movie about Tom Hardy saving puppies, so you can't get much better than that. So also Naomi Rapace, who's been kicking butt lately too, is scheduled to be in it. So she was in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. So that, again, no, I feel like I'm a broken record, but no release date on that yet. But looks like it's scheduled for November or December release.
We may be seeing your most anticipated films for 2015.
Yeah, no, just kidding. I know, seriously.
For my number five, you know, I was already intrigued about this film, and then I found out some more things about it that that make me more intrigued. It also could easily become a top pick for most disappointing film of the year when we do our 2014 year in review. It's coming out September 26th, and that would be from Disney, Maleficent, the untold story of Disney's most iconic villain from Sleeping Beauty. Obviously, we know that starring Angelina Jolie. What I didn't know, though, before I was starting to look at all these films, is a few things about the writers behind this. The writing team, from what I can tell, is mainly consisting of two people. The first person's name is Linda Wolverton, who, you may not know, wrote the screenplay for The Lion King, or was a major part in the writing for the screenplay for The Lion King, as well as Beauty and the Beast. And the second person on that writing team you may be familiar with, his name is Paul Dini.
Nice.
So that has me more intrigued than I was before. Angelina Jolie, Ellie Fanning, Imelda Staunton. It looks like they got the look right to me. I know some Angelina Jolie is a polarizing figure and some people like and some people dislike, but I feel like she fits this role. And again, I could easily eat my words and list this as the most disappointing film of the year. But for now, I will stay in the anticipation mode.
Yeah, I mean, one thing is for sure, she looks the part. So she looks pretty spitting in that role. And I did like the trailer that they just came out with not too long ago. So hopefully that'll be good. Hopefully it'll be a step above like similar films like Alice in Wonderland and whatnot.
Well, and the that Linda Wolverton was also the writer or behind the writing and screenplay for Alice in Wonderland, the 2010 version.
Okay.
So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, definitely. And again, sticking with your theory about this year being a great year for movies based upon books. My number four, I honestly heard about the movie before I heard about the book, but a lot of people that I know love this book. My wife's currently reading it. She's really enjoying it. And it's being directed by David Fincher, who gave us tons of great films. It's The Social Network, most recently the remake of Girl with Dragon Tattoo, and it's Gone Girl, starring Ben Affleck as a husband who loses his wife for whatever reason. Also starring as Rosamund Pike. And again, why I'm interested in this too is David Fincher. I mean, he's a director that he's going out with a movie I'm going to be there seeing it.
For sure.
So, and like, I have never read the source material. I probably won't because I'd rather go in fresh to see the movie. I prefer movies over books. I know.
As do I.
So, but that's why it has me intrigued. So hopefully it will. I like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It wasn't amazing. It wasn't, to me, Fincher's best. Ben Affleck, to me, is a better director than actor. But I think sometimes when you have a director directing another director, it leads to good things. So hoping for the best.
Yeah, I definitely had that on my list of potential films. I just didn't end up listing it at the end, but intrigued by that one as well. You talked about being surprised that the Lego film was not on my list. I was equally surprised, but maybe I don't know you in this genre well enough, but I was surprised to see Muppets Most Wanted not making anywhere on your list. The film coming out March 21st, I was really impressed with the last Muppet film and kind of what they did there to bring it to a new generation, yet still, you know, paying homage to the classic Muppet films. James Bowman, the director and one of the writers, I've liked his work with some of the stuff that he did with Flight of the Conchords. He was obviously involved with the last Muppets film, and this one just looks like it could be equally as good. So Muppets Most Wanted would be my next on my list.
Nice. Yeah, I did... again, it just didn't make the cut. Like, there's, I'm going to go see it. I did really like the remake, or I guess reboot, or whatever you want to call it, that came out. Was it 2-3 years ago?
Yeah.
So I thought that was really good, and I do think it looks pretty strong. The Muppets, like I said, if you don't like the Muppets, you're dead inside. So. All right. My number three, this one too was released in, actually just debuted at Sundance, and it should be coming out in a few months. And it's from a man who directed a film that appeared in my top 10 of 2013, and that is Richard Linklater. He did, you know, the Before series, Before Midnight, Before Sunset, Before Sunset, Sunrise, a few other films as well. And the movie that he's coming out with is called Boyhood. The only star that's on it that you'd probably be aware of is Ethan Hawke. And why it's intriguing, it's just because it actually took 12 years to make this movie. Basically, it's about this kid who grows up in these 12 years, and they've shot piece by piece over this period. And that, to me, could mean two things. It could either be a gimmick, or B, something very different and new for cinema that's never been done before. And based upon what Richard Linklater has done in the past, I think it's going to be pretty amazing. I mean, the Before series kind of does that on its own, because it takes place over real time, over, you know, nearly a 20-year period. So I think this could be something similar, and just seeing that natural progression. So, you know, like in movies, usually they have to get different actors. This is one who literally took 12 years to make a movie. So
that's very intriguing.
Yeah, that's why, like I said, it could be great. It could be horrible. It's getting good praise out of Sundance, which doesn't always mean much. I always take Sundance reviews with a grain of salt, honestly. But looking forward to that. It should be released relatively shortly. So.
All right. My number three, along with being a year about films based on movies, it seems like it's also a year about science fiction again. And my number three will fit into that mold. My number three film will come out April 17th, and that is Transcendence, with Johnny Depp, Paul Bettany, Morgan Freeman, Cillian Murphy. Again, I could see this being a total flop, but it is a science fiction film, so I'll be looking forward to it. It looks kind of creepy. Johnny Depp playing a interesting character that changes, obviously, into an artificial intelligence character, if you've seen the preview for it. Not the most anticipated science fiction film of the year, but I am intrigued to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I almost included that. I think it's just more of Johnny Depp fatigue that stopped me from placing it there.
But, understandable.
All right, getting down to the nitty gritty here. My number two is, again, the one thing that tends to get me to go see a movie often is the director. And usually if I'm like, oh, I like the movie he did last, it's going to make me want to see it again. And that's the case with number two. And directed by Bennett Miller, who did Moneyball, which is a movie I absolutely love. I think it's one of the best sports movies maybe in the last decade, if not further. And the movie he's coming out with is sports related. It's Foxcatcher. It's starring Channing Tatum, Steve Carell, Mark Ruffalo. Channing Tatum plays an Olympic wrestler who is – this isn't – it's hard to give a spoiler when it hasn't even been released yet. But based upon the synopsis, it's who's gunned down by a schizophrenic character, and it's about that relationship that ensues. So, again, a lot of based upon the director, the strong cast, and – I don't know. It seems like an interesting idea, and I've liked what Channing Tatum's been doing recently. And if Bennett Miller could bring what he did to Moneyball to this, I think it could be making a great film. So, what is your number two?
All right. Before I get to number two, I have to preface it a slight bit, because one thing that we, as far as how I approach this list compared to how you may approach this list, for me, when you're talking about most anticipated films of a year. I'm not necessarily looking at what is going to be the best film. I'm not necessarily looking for what is going to be my top 10 at the end of the year or what's going to win an award. It's a little bit easier to do this because you can let your personal bias seep through and can just be about what films am I looking forward to. I do not expect this film to be very good or great or anything like that, but I am looking forward to see exactly what it ends up being. So don't hate me, but my number two film would be the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle film. It comes out August 8th. It has got scary written all over it with the connection of Megan Fox. But I just want to see – the first original live-action Turtles film is one of was one of my favorite films growing up. It completely made me obsessed with Turtles for a long time during my childhood. So they're going back to that. I know it's going to be completely different in the letdown, but I will still look forward to it.
I think, yeah. Maybe expectations are so low that it will surprise people. So
hopefully.
Yeah. All right. My number one most anticipated. Again, this sticks on the idea of, like, I tend to, if I see a director that I like, it makes me really want to go see that movie. And David Fincher's on near that top of the list. And another one that's near the top of the list is Paul Thomas Anderson. He's done There Will Be Blood. 2 years ago, he did The Master, which made my top 10 of that year. And upcoming, he is teaming up with Joaquin Phoenix again, who was also in The Master, to do Inherent Vice. There's really not much to go on regarding the film because that's how Thomas Anderson likes to roll. But the synopsis at this point is in takes place in 1970, that a drug-fueled detective, Larry Dox Spatoia, investigates the disappearance of a former girlfriend. So it's Paul Thomas Anderson doing a crime movie that's kind of a mystery, which almost is not something I would necessarily expect from him, because he's never really done something like that per se. So, and again, Joaquin Phoenix was amazing in Her. He was great in The Master. Also, Reese Witherspoon's going to be in there. Josh Brolin. Strong cast, strong director. So I'm really looking forward to it. At this time, if Paul Thomas Anderson is making a movie, it's going to be something like you've never seen before, typically. So he likes to keep people on his toes. So, all right, bringing it down to number one, Kev, what's your number one?
My number one, I think it's a film that could be timed perfectly. It could be coming out at the exact right time in the world of cinema, as far as what people are into and what people like, and it may introduce a lot of people that aren't familiar with what it's based off of. We've had a resurgence in films based on Broadway plays, based on musicals, obviously most recently with Les Mis, and formerly before that, you know, like Chicago and some of the stuff like that. And then we've also had this turn by Disney and by other companies into the world of fantasy and into this type of thing. So my number one comes out Christmas Day of this year, and it is entitled Into the Woods, based on the Broadway play Into the Woods. Rob Marshall is the director. He was also the director on Chicago, Memoirs of a Geisha, and Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides. So some decent work there. We have Meryl Streep, Emily Blunt, Anna Kendrick, Chris Pine, Johnny Depp, Daniel Huddlestone. I like this musical. I like the music in it. I think the idea of what it does here, and for those of you that don't know, Into the Woods is a modern twist on the Brothers Grimm fairy tales. It intertwines the plots of some of the stories and explores the consequences of the characters' wishes and quests. So we have a little bit of Cinderella, Little Red Riding Hood, Jack and the Beanstalk, Rapunzel, and they're all tied together by an original story involving a baker and his wife and their wish to begin a family, and their interaction with the witch who has put a curse on them. And obviously you can guess that the witch would be Meryl Streep. Again, if there's going to be a film that disappoints me, it might be this one, because my expectations are super high. But Into the Woods is a great musical, and I think it could be something that just hits at the right time to be a popular film come next Christmas.
Yeah, I've honestly never heard of that movie or play before, so that sounds very intriguing. Meryl Streep in a musical. I mean, you just probably give her an award right now. So.
Well, and for those of you that aren't, there has been, if you look for the original version of this, which there is a film version that you can get, that would be starring, my mind's going to blank though, because it's one of the most famous, Bernadette Peters, who is a very famous Broadway actor, and it's got just a lot of good music. You can search out the music and kind of get prepared for it, I guess. But it's the original version was good, but this is going to be, you know, on a massive scale, in, you know, with modern visual effects, etc. And I just think with all the buzz about, you know, with Disney doing their live action stuff, it just might hit at the right time. I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, I could see that. And coming from a director who did Chicago, it could really work.
Right.
So, And you may be thinking, well, there's a lot of movies they have not talked about yet. Well, that's don't worry. We may be getting to those right now, because these are films that we did agree on. Obviously, those are films that we didn't match up with, but there were some films that did. So we're going to count down those. And I guess since you just finished your number one, I'll start it off with number 10. And I don't know about you, but if we did this in 2013 of our movies we're most looking forward to in 2013, it would have been on that list. Unfortunately, it was pushed back until February. But good thing for us is that there'll be a good movie in February, hopefully.
Yeah.
And that movie is Monuments Men. You know, you've probably seen trailers for it, directed by George Clooney, starring pretty much everyone ever. Bill Murray, George Clooney, Matt Damon, Kate Blanchett, just a huge cast. And I just, to me too, the story, it just sounds like very intriguing, and I'm a sucker for a good World War II movie.
And the last time that George Clooney and Grant Heslov teamed up as a writing team was with Good Night and Good Luck. And I like that movie quite a bit. So, I mean, come on, you put these people together. I mean, you could just put Bill Murray in the movie and I'm going to be excited for it. And then you throw in these other guys. I mean, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Our number nine that we had in common, I guess we could say that this fits the mold of being based on a book.
I guess so.
And if you want to stretch it out a little bit, the first of two films, well, more than two films this year coming out based on biblical times, and that would be Exodus, which is set to come out December 12th, 2014, directed by Ridley Scott, starring Christian Bale, Sigourney Weaver, John Turturro, Ben Kingsley. The writing team here, Steve Zalian, Adam Cooper, and Bill Collage, I'm not sure if I'm saying any of those names right, but Zalian was a writer on Moneyball, Girl with Dragon Tattoo, American Gangster, All the King's Men, Interpreter, Gangs of New York, Hannibal. We also had writers that were involved with Schindler's List, Mission Impossible, Awakening, Clear and Present Danger. It seems like a very experienced writing team. Ridley Scott's obviously a very experienced director, and I don't know exactly what they're doing with the whole story and which part they're going to depict or how they're going about it. I'm assuming that Ben Kingsley is going to be playing a pharaoh or something like that, but maybe I'm wrong. But this one definitely has me interested.
Yeah. I Ridley Scott can do epics. We know that with like with Gladiator. And I know a lot of people hate Kingdom of Heaven, but I kind of enjoy that movie, especially the director's cut, which is a stronger film. So, and Christian Bale has been on fire lately, so that has me super interested in that. All right. Oh, number eight for us. Again, another movie coming out relatively shortly, and that is The Grand Budapest Hotel, directed by Wes Anderson. And if you know anything about Wes Anderson, it's the fact that once the trailer starts, you know it's a Wes Anderson movie. He has a unique style with Rushmore, with the Royal Tenenbaums, with Bottle Rocket, Moonrise
Kingdom.
Yeah, Moonrise Kingdom most recently, also did Fantastic Mr. Fox. He's done a lot of great films, and it has his normal cast. It's including Ralph Fiennes, Edward Norton, Saoirse Ronan, probably saying that wrong. We talked about Jude Law, Bill Murray, who's always showing up in his movies, Owen Wilson, Adrian Brody. Like, the cast is pretty stacked. It's your normal, all those normal Wes Anderson players, and it's based upon a mystery too, again, something that Wes Anderson hasn't really done before. So that has me super intrigued, because I don't know, there's something about the world he creates that just is unique and fun. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I've liked most of his other works, so I will, again, this is a clear example of a director being tied to something that you're immediately going to be interested in.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so coming in with our number seventh pick, interesting that I had number nine and number seven here, maybe going head-to-head battle against each other. We have Ridley Scott against Russell Crowe, once teammates now going against each other. And our next on the list would be Noah, coming out also fairly quickly, March 8th. Director Darren Aronofsky, who directed The Black Swan, The Wrestler, and Requiem for a Dream, among other films, obviously starring Russell Crowe, Emma Watson, Jennifer Connelly. It's all about the biblical story of Noah. I am equally as intrigued in both Exodus and Noah. I actually, on my personal list, have them back to back against each other. It'll be interesting to see how they each play out.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess that'll be the question. I guess a good thing for them is that they come so far apart that hopefully like people won't be like biblical story fatigued by the time it comes out. So that I'm super looking forward to. It could be a huge mess because it's a huge story to take, to try to do, but it could be amazing. But number six, talking about being a great year for animated movies. Well, number six is another animated film, and another clay animation film coming from the same studio that gave us Coraline, and a film I absolutely love, Paranorman, and that is Box Trolls. And it really sold me on the trailer. If you haven't seen the trailer, it doesn't give you much about the movie, but it just shows you the making of, really, and with the song, I Have the Whole World in My Hands.
Yeah.
It just works really well. A lot of people have saying this movie studio is like the new Pixar with what they've been doing and their new ideas. So, and I think Box Trolls is super, super unique and nothing like we've seen before. And I love seeing animators taking risks like that.
Yeah. It's coming out in September. And like you said, it's an interesting example of, some films sell you on the director, some on the actors. And for this one, it's an example of the trailer, kind of catching in. Anybody that sees this trailer that I've seen seems to be interested in it. So definitely looking forward to that, as well as all the other animated films. Could be a good year for animation. Coming in at number five now, that we have both agreed on, and that would be first, I guess, in our comic book films, and that would be Guardians of the Galaxy, coming August 1st, directed and written by James Gunn. The only scary part of this for me is that it's the same guy who was behind movie 43.
Well, he was only one small part, to be fair.
Okay. But yeah, obviously Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Batista, Diamond Hansu, Benicio del Toro, John C. Reilly, Glenn Close, Bradley Cooper, Vin Diesel, need I say more? It's just going to be interesting to see how they pull this off, and can they have the same magic touch that they've had so far?
Yeah, for sure. And I really like that comic. I never thought it'd become a movie, but they're making it. So to me, it could be amazing. It could be a mess, but even if it's a mess, I think it'll be an interesting mess. So, all right. Number four, it's not surprising if you listen to Kev's, what he's been watching recently. He's been watching a lot of these films, so it makes sense it's in our top 10. And I think you may be looking forward to this a little bit more than me, but I'm still really looking forward to it. And that is The Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. The Rise of the Planet of the Apes was a huge surprise when it came out for me. Like, I never expected it to be nearly as good as it was. And it's coming back with a very new cast. James Franco is gone. Jason Clark is in. Gary Oldman is in. Andy Serkis is still doing the role of Caesar. And they need to make some sort of special award for him, because that guy can do motion animation like no one else. New director Matt Reeves is coming in to direct, and I do like him as a director. He's done Let Me In, and also a few other films. I can't think. Oh, what is the other one that he did? It slipped my mind for a second, but this is set to release on July 11th. So it, again, another huge summer film that has great potential.
It's going to be another one that I can't avoid. I try to avoid getting hyped up about films so they don't disappoint me. I'm going to be super hyped about this one, similar to what I was like with the sequel to Despicable Me, which was not a bad film, but I was so hyped for that it didn't live up to the potential that I thought it had. So I'm hoping this is not a similar case. I really, really, really enjoyed the first of this recent reboot, and I'm really hoping that this follows in that footsteps. It's very high on my list.
Yeah, and the other film I couldn't think of was he directed Cloverfield as well. I don't know why that slipped my mind. But.
Right. All right, moving right along. You're probably scratching your head about a few films you haven't heard us talk about yet. We maybe get into them, or maybe I guess they're not listed, but next on our list would be Captain America, The Winter Soldier, coming out April 4th, written by Anthony and Joe Russo. And I'm sorry, directed by Anthony and Joe Russo, written by Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, who were both on board for the writing of Thor, as well as the first Captain America and a bunch of the Chronicles of Narnia films. I don't think there's many geeks out there that are not looking forward to Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
No, that trailer looks pretty awesome, honestly. So high hopes. I think it could even be – I really like the first one. It's a lot different than the first one. You know, it's not taking place towards World War II. It's more modern day, but I think it hopefully will be even better. So.
Agree.
All right. Number two. Well, obviously this is going to be on this list. How could it not be when you just – again – you named a director, and that is the man, myth, legend, Christopher Nolan, and his first film since really leaving The Dark Knight, and that is Interstellar. We've only gotten a small teaser trailer for this. We kind of know what it's about. It's obviously science fiction, going the idea that this year should be another great year for science fiction, starring, you know, the legend himself, Matthew McConaughey, who may be winning an Oscar in a few weeks. Also, not just Matthew McConaughey, but Oscar winner Anne Hathaway, Oscar-nominated actress Jessica Chastain as well, Casey Affleck, Topher Grace for some random reason, but hey, yeah, Michael Caine, a great cast. And again, Christopher Nolan, he's making a movie. People are going to go see it.
Take Dark Knight out of the equation, and it just fits. You got Memento, Prestige, Inception, Interstellar. I mean, it just sounds like they all go together as great films.
Exactly.
And then you throw Dark Knight on top of it, and that it's – I don't know how this could miss. The trailer's excellent for it with the Matthew McConaughey voiceover, and I had this number three on my list, so number two overall is not far off.
No. So the granddaddy of them all, what is our number one?
I'm sure some people can probably predict it. You had it as your number one. I had it as my number two. It's coming out May 23rd of this year, and that would be X-Men Days of Future Past. Directed by Bryan Singer, writer Simon Kinberg doing the screenplay, and Matthew Vaughn doing the story. Singer has been on all – he's been involved with all of the X-Men's except for the origin one.
In X-Men 3, he wasn't in – not directed. He was set to direct that, but left and in Superman.
Gotcha. Return. He was also involved with Valkyrie, Usual Suspects. Some of the writers have been involved with Debt, Kick-Ass, Sherlock Holmes, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Regardless of who's involved with it, this – the concept, the plot, the images – the combination of the two casts, I don't know what is not to look forward to or be excited about this film.
Exactly. I mean, Bryan Singer coming back. I am an unapologetic, huge fan of the X-Men. I mean, I was since I was a kid. X2 and X-Men First Class are two of my favorite comic book movies ever. Again, like you said, this cast coming together, Patrick Stewart coming back to the role, Michael Fassbender, you know, again, it's just the idea. It's one of the most iconic X-Men stories ever. It's going to Peter Dinklage being a villain. The Sentinels are finally coming into play. My only worry is that my anticipation is so high that I can only be disappointed. So that's I guess, the worry about doing these lists, but also the fun. So I'm sure, you know, maybe in a year from now, we'll look back and see, well, did our anticipation be met with glee, or was it, like, you know, disappointment? So it's a fun little game to play.
And you'll be able to see the films we mentioned, the write-ups on them, and even more if you go to the website and check out our blogs. I have my top 35 overall films listed, and you have what, 30?
I have my top 30, yeah.
Top 30. Yeah. So we have 65 films listed, which, like you just heard, only 10 of them were similar. So there's a lot of films out there that we're going to be talking about if you want to hear more about other stuff that's coming out.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So let us know what you think. And before we finish up the show, anything else before we get into coming attractions?
No, I mean, there's everything that we just talked about is coming attractions. Unfortunately, not all of them are coming this next week.
No, that would be awesome and horrible at the same time. So it would be so hard to keep track of everything. But unfortunately, it's looking forward to all that amazing stuff. And then we're in January, February territory, and it's like But anyways, there are some of those films that we'll be releasing soon, so that's kind of fun. Coming out this week, nothing really big. The Awkward Moment, which looked like it could be interesting, starring Michael B. Jordan, also Zac Efron, and looks like it could be like a male romantic comedy, which I might be seeing. So has potential. Other big release, Labor Day, like I said, starring directed by Jason Reitman and starring Josh Brolin. And I haven't heard amazing things, but it could be good. And also being released is there's a small film called 12 O'Clock Boys, which is a documentary, which I've heard a lot of great things about. And that's actually going to be debuting at on demand as well. So if you're looking for something to see, you don't want to go to the theater, check your on demand, because there are some interesting stuff coming out. Anything else coming out this past weekend that
The Wait might be interesting to see, but I don't know. I'll probably check Labor Day out at some point, and maybe Awkward Moment at some point. I don't know if I'll be seeing them in the theater, though.
Yeah, I agree. All right, and then for DVD Blu-rays, some interesting things. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, The Fifth Estate, which I saw, which is an okay film. It's worth seeing just for Benedict Cumberbatch's performance. It's actually a good DVD rental if you're, you know, heading to your Redbox. Good thing to pick up. Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. I'm sorry. The Oscar-nominated Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. Still blows my mind. Las Vegas, Metallica, Through the Never, and Rush, which I've also seen. Pretty good. Daniel Bruhl, again, he was in both that and Fifth Estate, was pretty amazing. Again, both of those are worth a rental. And have you seen any other films that are?
I haven't seen any of these films that are listed here. I will be making probably a Redbox visit. I want to see Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, The Fifth Estate, Las Vegas, and Rush. So I guess there's some stuff for me to watch in lieu of stuff that's not in the theater.
Exactly. Very true. All right. So last week we were talking, I forget what spurred the question exactly. But you asked the question.
Oh, it's because I've been seeing some. I saw Fruitvale Station and a couple other films that my roommate was not interested in because they were too real for him to. I don't say that in a negative manner. I'm not trying to put him down in any way, shape, or form. But it just sparked in my mind that movies serve different purposes for people. And sometimes people don't want to see stuff that's too close to reality. Other people might not want to see stuff that's too unbelievable or fantastical or whatever. So we asked the question on, you know, what purpose do movies serve any in everybody's life? Why do they go see movies in general?
Yeah. And we got a lot of great feedback. We had some little bit back and forth here and there. One comment that stuck out to me was from Insurgent Cinema. He said, in film school, I actually wrote my dissertation on why I chose to watch movies so I could go on for hours. Luckily, he just left a comment. I'll just say this, though. Movies are like any form of art. We should try to cultivate them to their best degree and not settle on what is easy. Blockbusters have their place, as do connected dot drawings. But if that's all we do, we aren't doing it justice. I hate to live in a world where we don't have 2001 A Space Odyssey or The Godfather because they can cause us to ask questions or think about things in new and exciting ways. A movie like Transformers just gives us new ways of seeing things explode, which is interesting. Not a film that came up in our discussion for 2014 films, but that'll be debuting as well. I kind of like what he's saying there. I understand. Basically, yeah, those movies have their place, but that shouldn't be all you see. But a lot of people said the opposite. Some people say, hey, I have enough stress. Like Justin Washington said, he's enough stress in his life, so he doesn't need to go see something to get more stress. He just wants it to be entertainment. And I kind of understand that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and along the same veins, I got a comment that I expected to get out of that question, which is what a lot of people I think do is they view it as an escape, and that was a phrase that came out in the comments as well. And I think a lot of people do view movies as a way to escape reality, and there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, I guess I don't want to. I would never not see a movie because it is, you know, this or because it's that. It's to this or it's to that. Like, I want to see a little bit of everything. The only stuff that I won't see maybe is if it's going to be too gory. Then I might take a step back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. I just like seeing movies, so I'll see anything. I do think, like Insurgent Cinema says, the more you see, the better you are. But I kind of do understand that idea of like, hey, it's a Friday night. You're not going to want to go see 12 Years a Slave because it's not a film that's going to make you feel good inside. But because my wife's kind of the same way where she'll see movies like that, but it's not something she's longing to go see. It's like, I can wait to see that because she has a very stressful job. So it's like, this is my opportunity for entertainment. I want to be entertained.
Right.
And I get that. But I think to me, I can be entertained just by a really great movie, even if it's about very deep in like disturbing stuff, I guess. So, all right. And we do have a question for you for next week. And it seems fitting, of course, it seems to be has to be the question we ask you, and that is, what films are you most looking forward to in 2014?
And maybe go ahead and give us your number one, give us your top three, top five. What films are you most looking forward to? Do you agree with some of the ones that we picked, or do you have stuff that we didn't even talk about?
Yeah, I'm sure there's stuff that we missed that you're wondering why I wasn't there. Let us know. I'm sure
at least one person will list Transformers.
So. I'm sure. Yeah, and I mean, we didn't talk about some big ones like The Hunger Games, The Hobbit movie. Correct. So I'm sure there's a lot of those fans out there that will let their voice be heard. Anything else before we bring this episode to a close?
I think maybe hopefully what this episode did for you is to realize, you know, yeah, all the buzz and all the talk is about 2015 and this, that, and the other, and obviously some stuff has shifted in the last couple of weeks, but 2014 is nothing to sneeze at. There are a lot of good potential films coming out in 2014.
Agreed. Yeah, a lot of great stuff out there. So don't just think about 2015 because there's a lot coming out right now that you can miss, so.
It could be the year of the science fiction film. It could be, you know, the year of some interesting reboots or remakes. It could be the year about, like we said, films based on books. It'll be interesting to see which ones fall flat and which ones rise to the top.
For sure. So when we'll be here to take that ride, because we're doing this, I think it'll be a fun way to kind of see how 2014 is as a whole.
And I'm sure there will be a time towards the end of the year where clips will be played from this episode to make us both look silly.
Exactly. Like, you thought that was going to be a good movie. You're crazy. Again, it's anticipated. We don't know. You know, it's right. It's a guessing game. All right. And there are tons of ways you can leave us feedback. You can call the voicemail line at 502-526-5821. You can email us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. Visit the forums or episode posts at Geekcast Radio. Visit the Facebook page at geekcastradio.network. You can visit us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio, #MWire. And also, you can check us out on Letterboxd. My Letterboxd name is Movie Revolt. And Kev, what's yours?
Oh, goodness, you're going to make me forget to get
that. Oh, sorry.
I believe it's Kevin DT 1981.
All right. And if for those that are not on Letterboxd, definitely check it out. If you're a movie fan, it's heaven, honestly. It's a great way to there's a social aspect of it. If you don't even care about that, just a great way to log movies, make lists. It's a fun time.
I like to check it out because I like to see what Dan's watching. So it's a way that you can follow us and you can see which films we're watching, what we rate them, and you know what we're doing on a nightly basis, movie related.
Exactly. I have some reviews up there. Sometimes when I don't have a full review of something, it could just be a few sentences, and it's a good way to kind of start a dialogue about different things.
And if you haven't got enough yet of a 2013 look back or in review, they have a great page about 2013 in review, so I would definitely check that out.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I do have my top 25 of 2013 listed there to go along with last week. So, and you can also, I forgot to mention Twitter, and I'm the same on Twitter. I'm at Movie Revolt, and I think Kevin, you're at Optimus Solo. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, so that is it for this week. Thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to all 2014. Because remember, for all things movies, keep tuned to MWire Weekly. We'll see you next week.